The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. The meetings on Thursday afternoon are Southall, Warwick and Bangor on Dee. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to them is Mr. Darren Owen. How are you, Wizard?
I'm well, Mark. Yes, are you?
Yes, I'm all right, thank you.
Good.
Which is...
You don't look it.
In what respect?
You're walking rather lame.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that will sort itself out eventually. Not too long now, just four more weeks. Never mind. Plenty to talk about though, Wizard.
Oh, gosh, yeah, some great talking points. Mm.
And we'll start with... news with regards to the end of the jump season and the start of the flat season, I suppose it come together. And normally we have the mixed card at Sandown on the Whitbread meeting. Not anymore, Wizard. It's now going to be a Saturday of jumps racing and a Friday of flat racing at Sandown.
Yeah, and this is something that I felt should have happened a few years ago. I enjoy the idea of having a mixed card in principle, but we were talking about this earlier on. It is billed as the jumps finale, as the climax of the jump season, as the end of the jump season. So really, it should be an all-jumping programme. And they've gone that extra step as well, the authorities, because it is the only day's jumping in the yep. UK. So they've got the stage to themselves. I think it's perfect, because you're going to have two wonderful days racing at Sandown at the end of April. You're going to have a quality flat programme on the Friday with three group races, another good competitive races and conditions races. And then on the Saturday, you've got I still call it the old Whitbread Gold Cup. The Celebration Chase has been upgraded to Grade 1 status.
Yeah,
I know you're not going to get a big field for that. Let's just hope that there's decent prize money. I'm sure there will be. And a number of horses are kept in training for that. The only problem is you're still going to be clashing with Punchestown because, of course, there are Grade 1 races for all categories at Punchestown basically the same week. But you've got Celebration Chase, the old Whitbread. There's a couple of handicap hurdles already on the card, and then they're obviously going to create another two or three races. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea that they have the stage themselves. You're looking at the Racing Post today, and they're saying that the crowd figures have fallen over the last 10 years or so. Yep. So hopefully this will give it a much-needed injection. And regards the break, they've actually got a few blank days after
3 days,
Whitbread Day. The day the season starts with the Hunter Chase program. I'd have probably got a little bit further than that. I'd have probably had about a fortnight. What I'd have done there is had a fortnight's a blank fortnight, no jumping for a fortnight. Or when I say no jumping, no jumping for the pros for a fortnight. Mm. I'd have staged one or two maybe Hunter Chase fixtures, i.e. Cheltenham, yep. and maybe one or two others, and start the new jump season on Swinton Hurdle Day at Haydock. So yeah. You're starting on a bit of a high as well.
Yeah.
And that comes a fortnight after the Whitbread. But yeah, but in principle, yeah, I like it that they've now got that line in the sand. There are blank days. You can see the season ends that day and it starts the following week. But yeah, wonderful idea.
Okay, so you're all for it then?
I'm for it.
Okay.
I'm not against mixed meetings.
No.
But I am for this.
I think if they'd have... We were talking about this in the office, weren't we? I think if it had been billed differently, rather than being billed as the finale of the jump season,
yeah.
but then only having four jumps races and several flat races, if they'd have billed it as a mixed card, the big switchover kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you've got... It will start with jumps and then switch over to the flat and do it that way. I think it would have carried on working, I suppose the online poll suggests that maybe people don't want that. Only 31% people that voted on the Racing Post wanted to keep it.
Mark, you're too young to remember this. For years, there was only one jump race on the card.
Hmm.
For years, when I was growing up, there was only one jump race on the card, and that was the Whitbread.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, this is not working. I never felt that work. You need a little bit more of a balance.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm all for mixed meetings, but yeah, I think this is a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, at least out of the one thing that will come out of is very defined seasons and championships will work that way.
I tell you what I don't agree with, because this has been suggested in a few places, that the season should end on Grand National Day. I don't agree with that. Because you've still got the Scottish National, and in Ireland you've got Punchestown, you've got the old Whitbread, and the season's climax would be lost because it would all be about the Grand National on that day. Mm. So I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I can see where you're coming from there. Yeah. It wouldn't, well, the whole 3-4 weeks before is about the Grand National, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it just, you know, get lost in it.
Once Cheltenham's over, then you're focused on the National.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's some news in respect to the jumps world then. Back onto the flat, Wizard, and a meeting that you're looking forward to. I understand the ARC is coming up this weekend, and it's a meeting you frequented the last few years. You love going to Longchamp, don't you?
Yeah, my first visit to Longchamp was as a kid when Akida for the Aga Khan, ridden by Yves Saint Martin, beat the great Ardross in 1982. It's a race I've always adored, the ARC. You know, this Sunday at Longchamp is my favourite day's flat racing of the whole year, and the ARC is my favourite race because, you know, as you know, it brings together the ages, the sexes. The only problem is the weather, because there are times that the ARC's run in really soft stroke heavy ground, and it might just go that way again, sadly, this year. Looking at it on paper, you know, we're in for a treat, hopefully. It looks a wonderful race. We've got Orfev, the Japanese hope, who should have won last year. Yeah. And I was in the office now talking to Steve, and he didn't know the answer to this, and I was on the money. But I just wanted clarification. The last horse to finish second in the ARC.
Yeah.
And then to go on to win the ARC.
Okay.
Now, I stand to be corrected, because we haven't looked at this intensely, but I think it was Allez France, French filly, who was second to Rheingold in 1973 and then won it the following year, 1974.
Right.
Yeah, so Orfev's bidding to do that. There might. I cannot think of one in the interim. But I don't fancy Orfev anyway.
You don't, huh?
No, I don't. I fancy Trev. I've backed Trev. The Prix de Diane, the French Oaks form, is solid. The horse she beat there at Chanty went on to win the Irish Oaks. She looked really good in winning her trial a couple of weeks or so ago, the Prix Vermeil. She came from what looked to be an impossible position. That would be a bit of a concern, that she may encounter traffic problems. But I think she's a progressive filly. The form is strong. And she's bidding to give Cricket Head her second, I think it's her second winner in the ARC. She won with another filly called Three Troikas. Three Troikas back in 1979. And, of course, Frankie Dettori on board Trev. A lot of time for novelists. A lot of respect for novelists. He's done nothing wrong.
Novelist is the one that's attracting the money.
Yeah, you know, he good winner of the King George Midsummer. He's the one I fear. I fancy Trev. I've backed Trev. I fear novelists more than Orfev, to be honest with you. And away from those, you've got the other Japanese horse. That's Kizuna. You've got Ruler of the World, who, of course, won our Derby. To be honest with you, people were saying, oh, it was unlucky in its ARC trial. I don't think it was. It just didn't have the tactical pace to quicken. Intello intrigues me. They just don't know about Intello, about the trip. I've been thinking this horse could stay a mile and a half.
It's quite a race to step up to a mile and a half for the first time.
Yeah. Flintshire wants better ground, as does the Fugue. Not sure Leading Light will be good enough. I'm going Trev to beat Novelist.
Okay, Trev to beat Novelist then. Trev is 9-2, Novelist is also 9-2. That's the one that's attracting most money in. Orfevre, the 2-1 favourite, it's then 13-2, barring those. Kaizuna, the 13-2.
Tell you what, I will say favorite to you, no British or Irish horse will win the ARC.
No. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's some name, isn't it, for a filly, Trev?
Yeah, well, is it
it's probably not Trev, is it?
Isn't it Trave, really?
Trave, probably, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
But
we dumb Brits are calling Trev.
Here's Trev coming up home straight.
Hey, up, Trev's going to win the ARC. But it's a wonderful day's racing, isn't it, on Sunday. We've got six Group 1s, and Saturday's a good day as well, Group 2s and Group 3s.
It is a great car beyond the arc as well, isn't it? Alonso?
Oh, it is. You know, you've got the Prix de Forêt, the Group 1 7-furlong race, the Marcel Boussac always throws up a decent two-year-old filly, something to look forward to next year, the Grand Criterium, the Jean-Luc Lagardère always produces a decent two-year-old colt, one to watch next year. It's just a wonderful car throughout.
It is, and we'll look forward to that on Sunday. But before we get to Sunday's racing, we should probably concentrate on Thursday's racing, Wizard. And you've picked out a few races for us. You're going to go to Bangor for one of them, and Warwick for the other two. So we'll go to Bangor first. The first race there, the race there that you picked out is a 350, and this is a 2.5 mile handicap chase. Only five of them in the lineup, and Hazy Tom's an intriguing one because he's on a bit of a retrieval mission now, isn't he?
He is. This is his first run of the season, of course. You're just getting the glimpses now that the season's starting to step up a gear when you see horses like Hazy Tom appearing. Only a small field for this race. He's going to have to shoulder top weight. What we're going to bear in mind, of course, the ground is officially good at the time of recording. There's a lot of rain around the UK, so we could be everywhere, could be on the soft side come Thursday. I do like Hazy Tom. I think it's between the top one and the bottom one. Hazy Tom and Lambra Lad. Lambra Lad's been lightly raced for Peter Bowen. He's been on the sidelines for a few months, first run since April. But Hazy Tom was a decent novice hurdler, you'll remember. And I think this horse has certainly got the ability over fences. One from five over fences. And I'm going to take Hazy Tom to defy top weight.
Okay. What do you make of Lucky Landing in there as well?
He's been consistent. He's
stepping up in grade a little bit.
Bit of a market raising specialist. Been on the go a long time. I just don't think he's got the quality of a Hazy Tom.
Okay. So Hazy Tom to bounce back to winning ways then in the 350 at Bangor. Moving to Warwick then for the 440 next. And this is the Jockey Club Grassroots Middle Distance Series Final. It's a handicap. A class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter, and plenty of prize money on offer here as well, Wizard.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Because you've got the two races we're going to look at, the Middle Distance Grassroots Championship and the Sprint, both worth 25k. Lots of horses with chances here in this mile and three race at 440. Right at the top end of the market, right at the top end of the handicap, you look at Willow Beck, who's already got four wins on the board. William Buick teaming up with John Gosden. A lot of respect for this one. Invincible Cara was bogged down in soft ground last time. It could be we could have more cutting the ground by race time on Thursday. Invincible Car has actually finished in front of one of these horses, Manchester, but I like Manchester. I think this has got the potential to step up in distance. 1 mile three the journey on Thursday afternoon. A winner over 9 furlongs at Musselburgh this term, and I'm going to go for the Fahy representative here, Manchester.
Okay, that was a nap of yours, wasn't it, a few weeks ago, Manchester?
Was it?
I think
it might have been when I was on holiday.
Might be when Ken put in,
It might have been when I was on holiday.
Okay. Would you make anything of the jockey bookings? Do you read into that too much? Richard Fahey's got Paul Hannigan on Manchester and he's got Samantha Bell on Dolphin Village.
I must admit, I was drawn to that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know.
No. But we can but guess, can't we? Manchester, then, in the Middle Distance Series Final. Let's move on to the 5.10 at Warwick, which is the Sprint Series Final, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. And again, competitive, plenty of prize money on offer. Would you like here, Wizard?
Oh, lots of horses with chances. I'm intrigued. One of the three-year-olds here, looking towards the bottom. Broughton's Charm is the name of the horse, trained by Willie Muss and Shrewd Operation.
Mm.
This horse has only run once on turf, and that was about 12 months ago. As a two-year-old.
Right.
Didn't get a clear run that day, incidentally. But it's been coming along nicely on the all-weather. You see, it was second last time at Lingfield.
Yeah.
I just think it might be a bit of a fly in the ointment against some more exposed types.
Yeah, it's interesting. Siding with a horse that's never won on turf, though, in a final.
Only had one run on turf.
Yeah. And he was unlucky, I suppose, yeah. Okay.
Just saying, it could be the fly in the ointment.
Yeah. So would you take a chance on that, or would you have a solid option in there as
I'm
well?
I'm going to go for Broughton's Charm. There have been lots of horses with chances, like Baron Run, dual winner at Hamilton. There's quite a few of them coming into this race in good nick. For instance, I saw Barkston Ashwin just the other day. But, yeah, I'm going to take a chance with this one. It's a wide-open race. It'll be interesting to see how they bet on this race. Others to watch out for, Mission Approved at TrinityElite.com for Tom Dascombe. But, yeah, I'm going to take a chance with this three-year-old.
OK. Go on then, Wizard. Let's have a little summary, if you'll just spin us through your three then for Thursday.
Right, 350 Bangor on D, Hazy Tom, 440 Warwick Manchester, and 510 Warwick Broughton's Charm.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Wizard. Enjoy it on Thursday, and enjoy your trip to France as well.
Yeah, Messi.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Darren Owen on Thursday's racing. You can hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. We have racing from Southall, Warwick and Bangor on Dee on Thursday afternoon, and in the evening we're on the all-weather poly track at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. You'll hear them all on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.